These are my high school friends. And I remember during our high school days, I'm not a good student. You know, I flunked in some of my subjects, especially mathematics. I hate math. And that's why I flunked twice, and that's why I took summer classes in math, just to make sure that I will pass on, will move on to the next grade level. I made a lot of mistakes, and sometimes there are days that I will tell my parents that I will go to school, but I will show myself to my teacher and then slowly skip class, and then together with my friends, we go to movie houses. We hang out, you know, and so on and so forth. And I think I was thinking that I will not graduate high school, but I was able to graduate high school. I failed 1 year, so I have to repeat that year level so that I can move on. Well, that's life. And as I look at the disciples of Jesus, you know, the 12 disciples. They were handpicked by Jesus. They were called by the Lord, each of them by their names. And yet, if we will look at them, they are called unworthy disciples. So that's what we are going to, that's what we are going to look at today, that we will deal with the drama of our lives as Christians. And we will look at the life of the disciples as jumping board. And our reflection will be from the whole Gospel of Mark, because I will be jumping from one passage to another. What I like about the book of Mark, it is sheer honesty. It's pure of honest reflection. And even Mark, who is the writer of this passage, put himself into this passage or into this book. In particular, it vividly portrays the disciples as progressive learners, as they learn from the Lord. In fact, the gospel portrays them as the dumbest people on earth. In several passages, Jesus asks questions that reveal how terrible, how dumb his disciples were. Let's look at this passage. For example, in Mark chapter 7, verses 17 to 18. After Jesus had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. And he said, "Are you so dull? Are you, sorry for my word, but are you stupid? Are you dumb?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them?" Another passage in Mark chapter 8, verse 17. Let's move on to the next slide. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened?" He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" That's according to Mark chapter 8, verse 21. You know, these disciples, let us remember that the disciples were the chosen men of Jesus Christ himself. They were taught by him. They received private tutorial from Jesus Christ himself. They traveled with him, you know. They ate with him. They witnessed his miracles. But during and after the 3 years that Jesus was with them, the disciples were portrayed in the book of Mark as struggling followers who showed very little progress. Hence, my question today is this. Let's move on to the next slide. What degree of transformation can we expect from disciples within 3 years? Because that's the length of ministry of Jesus, only 3 years. He was born like us as a babe. He grew up. His first story started when he was 12 years old. You know, his parents left him at the temple, and he was, you know, talking to the rabbis and the teachers of the law. And then after that, we see him being baptized. And culturally speaking, you are considered as an adult when you reach your 30th years of age. So basically, he only ministered for 3 years, because at the age of 33, he was crucified on the cross and I rose up from the dead after 3 days, and then I move up to heaven after 40 days. So the question is, what degree of transformation can we expect from disciples within this 3 years? We need to make an evaluation of the disciples. Let's look at them. Let's put them under the microscope. In our, you know, we have what we call the Nazarene course of study. So if you are preparing yourself for ministry, to become a pastor, and you can go to the Bible college, we have what we call the course of study. You can study according to your pace, and you don't need to. You can take it online or other modes of study. But there are 4 C's that we are talking here. Let's move on to the next. And it says here, it's the content, or the curriculum itself, the context, the surroundings, your competencies, your skills, and your character, your attitude. So I would like to use this content, context, competencies, character as we look at the disciples. The first one, let's move on to the next slide. Content, objective. You know, what we call these disciples, they are heretical thinkers. They are, their thinking about religion is corrupted. You know, they have a wrong assumption. They have wrong religious belief. In Mark chapter 8, the story there is that Jesus was talking about his death. And then here's Peter and saying, Jesus, you know what, Jesus? You don't need to talk about death. You are not going to be crucified. You will become our leader. You will save the whole Israel from the bondage of Rome. Don't say that you will die. No, I'm just making up that, okay? But Peter asked, rebuked Jesus when Jesus was talking about his death. And here's Jesus' reply to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan! You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You are just, you know, concerned about yourself." And Jesus keeps on talking to them about his death. Peter has been with Jesus for more than a year, and yet he misunderstood Jesus' teaching, lecture about being the Messiah. Peter thought and wished that the Messiah would be a powerful, glorious figure. When Jesus talked about himself dying, he was horrified, so he rebuked Jesus. In response, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, like Peter, there may be some of us that thinks like that. You know, I was a Bible college student. And when I remember during my Bible college days, I also made some wrong assumptions and wrong beliefs. The next one, they failed in their objectives. The disciples experienced this. The next slide is the context. The context is that they are bad hermeneutics. Hermeneutics means interpretation of the Bible. They have a bad interpretation of the Word of God. In Mark chapter 9, you know, Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters. This is the transfiguration when Jesus showed himself with 2 other people, you know, Moses and Elijah. And then Peter says, "No, let's put up an altar here." Again, even having been a disciple of Jesus for a while, Peter failed to interpret things properly. The story is that of the transfiguration of Jesus. He thought that Moses and Elijah were going to stay with Jesus. And the 3 of them will tag team, will join forces, and that they will establish the kingdom of Jesus on Israel and drive away the Roman Empire. So he suggested that they stay there for a while. So Peter basically did not understand the situation. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the prophets, but he did not understand what was happening right at the mountain. So as a disciple of Jesus, he failed in his biblical interpretation class. He has an F grade. The next slide. Competencies. They failed in their internship program. You know, Jesus gave them the power to cast away demons. But in Mark chapter 9, verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit. that has robbed him of speech. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You know, your disciples are flunking in exorcism. Maybe they need more power. Maybe they need more. Training, or the proper words that they need to have. They read the Harry Potter, you know, magic book. Or do they memorize all those, you know, spells and everything? But how come that they could not drive away bad spirits or evil spirits? Even the disciples of Jesus were not able to do their requirements. Preaching, healing the sick, and driving away demons were their requirement as students of Jesus. But they were not able to do it in this story, even as a group. You know, this must have been very embarrassing for the disciples and even for Jesus. They have carried the name of Jesus and were maybe shouting, "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name." But they were unable to cast away the demon in the sight of many people. They have lost their dignity in public. They absolutely failed in their competencies. Next slide. Character. You know, these disciples, they are social climbers. In Mark chapter 9 and also in chapter 10, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" You know, while they are on the way to Capernaum, these disciples are arguing, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And maybe some of them, maybe Peter says, "No, I'm the greatest because I'm the eldest here. I'm the bold, I'm the courageous one." And maybe John says, "No, I'm the greatest in the kingdom because, you know, I'm called the beloved. I am very much related, blood related to Jesus." And maybe Judas says, no, I'm the greatest. Without me, you don't have money, you know, because he's the treasurer among the disciples. So they are social climbers. The disciples failed to understand Jesus' doctrinal and theological lessons. They failed to understand the context. They failed to meet the competency requirements. And now the passage says that they also failed in their character. If the disciples were Nazarenes, they were not be ordained as a pastor. If they go through the ordination course, you know, they were with the Holy One, but they never learned good morals. Instead of imitating Jesus in his humility, they were arguing about who is the greatest among them. In fact, because they could not agree about this, James and John in Mark chapter 10 took the initiative to ask Jesus, "Okay, Jesus, if it is okay for them to sit, can I sit at your right and this one sit at your left?" We call it in Tagalog, sip-sip. Or we call it like a blood sucker, you know. Just to get the position. You want always to be with the master and do all the things and to please him so that he will give you that position. You know, if the disciples were enrolled in our Bible colleges and even at the seminary, they would have received a lot of campus punishment. You know, I was at Bible college, I studied in Bible college, and we have disciplines there. If you violate this, you have an equivalent discipline or punishment. The faculty here would have been driving crazy by the disciples. Maybe they are this. Maybe the faculty would say, "I hate these disciples. I will flunk them so that they will not come back here in Bible college." If Jesus, the master disciple, was not able to do anything to them, how can others do better, right? You know, the life of the disciple is like the life of many people who are studying in the school. There are students who flunk. There are students who are bullied. There are students who are hard-headed. And I remember when I was in high school, I was one of them. Maybe even one of the worst of them. Next slide. After 3 years of studying under Jesus, during the graduation day of his disciples, you know, or on the day Jesus was crucified, they again displayed the most shocking action. One of them betrayed Jesus, it was Judas. One of them denied him in public, Peter. A small girl approaching, he said, one of the disciples of Jesus. And then Peter said, no, I'm not one of them. Maybe I'm just look-alike, but I'm not one of them. I'm not a disciple of Jesus. One of them, in Mark chapter 14, verse 52, we can read that one of them even fled naked. Completely naked, running away when Jesus was being arrested. So that no one could recognize him. And none except John went to Golgotha, to the mountain, to the hill where Jesus was crucified. 11 disciples fled, only one left. After Jesus was raised from the dead, one of them did not believe him, Thomas. Thomas said, until I see the scars on his palm and the wound on the side of his, belly, I will not believe that he is alive. He doubted. These are the disciples of Jesus himself. After 3 or 4 years of studying under him, nothing much has changed about them. Well, I want to return to that question. Next slide. I want to return to this question that I asked at the beginning. What level of transformation can we expect from someone in 3 years? Well, the sad truth is that in the lives of the disciples, the answer is almost none. If you were Jesus, let's put ourselves in Jesus' shoes. What would you have done to the disciples who seem to have learned nothing? If you are a professor, Pastor Dave is a teacher, Helen Mann, and your students fail in content, context, competency, and character, what would you do? Mark summarizes the stupidity of the disciples. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14, it says there, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. But the mystery of it all is that after Jesus rebuked them, the very next verse tells us that Jesus is still trusted with them. Trust them to carry out the gospel. Let's look at the next slide. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will condemn. Verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. You know, the same lousy failure disciples who denied him, who did not learn a lot from him, who abandoned him, who doubted him, who were social climbers, who were incompetent, the same people are the people whom God entrusted the message of salvation. The kingdom is at the hands of incompetent men. This is scary. You know, I have yet to meet a perfect Christian or a leader or pastor. If you met someone who is perfect, let me know, and I want also to meet that person, especially if he's a pastor or a Bible teacher or a Christian. I don't see him even when I look in the mirror. When I look at myself in the mirror, I have so many blunders in life. I don't even know why God had called me to the ministry or why God called me to be a pastor. In the midst of my imperfection and many witnesses, and if you will look at yourself in the mirror, you will wonder why God has entrusted this message to you and to me. We are sent to serve God and His kingdom. He does not require much. He does not ask us to be perfect in knowledge or character. He does not ask us to be very competent. All He asks from us is a constant obedience to His word and His command. What's astonishing is that the book of Mark ends with the following verses. Let's look at the next slide. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of God, in verse 20 of Mark chapter 16. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. Wow, praise the Lord. They were flunking. They were this and that. They were so incompetent. They were so stubborn. They're so dumb. And yet, the Lord has entrusted to him the preaching of the gospel. Today, I would like to affirm your calling, our calling. Each one of us is called to make disciples. The mission statement of the Church of the Nazarene is making Christ-like disciples in the nations. This very command is entrusted to us to make disciples in our family, to share our testimony, to witness before Christ among our fellow workers, among our neighbors, among our classmates and friends. We are not perfect. We will never be perfect until we go to heaven. We all have weaknesses and limitations. We have personality problems. We have, I don't know, maybe some of you have political ambitions or other ambitions. When we look at ourselves, we will realize how inadequate we are. But all these things really don't matter to the Master. Because all He needs from us is our constant obedience to His call. Don't look at yourself down. Don't look at others down. Look up. Only look up. People will tell you how small you are. They will think less of you. It does not matter. What is important is our commitment to the work that God has entrusted us to do. You know, there was a song. I will not sing this because otherwise it will be a terrible worship service. You know, but the song says, "Oh God, why have you chosen me? Out of millions, your child to me. You know all the wrong that I have done, or oh, how could you pardon me? Forgive my iniquity to save me. Give Jesus your son." Next slide. "But Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Your word will strive to obey. I will strive to obey. My life I now give. For you I will live and walk by your side all the way." I hope that this song will become our prayer, prayer of commitment, that no matter of our past, we will continue to be obedient to the Lord, obedient to His command, that we go and share the gospel, that we go and make disciples.